Psalm 127 is a psalm of ascent that was written by Solomon. Now, Solomon was given a specific level of wisdom by God that was very, very rare. We see that in 1 Kings 3, 11 and 12. God told Solomon that he gave Solomon so much wisdom and knowledge, so that there has been no one like you before you, nor shall one like you arise after you. So when we read this psalm that is written by Solomon, it adds an extra interest to the investigation of it. We're not really sure what the background of this psalm is. There have been various views on that point. The point of the psalm is, unless God sovereignly builds, guards, and blesses something, it will end up useless and will not produce what it should have produced. The psalm is designed to promote a conscious dependence on God in everything from building to business to children. One of the great privileges and the great necessities that God's people have is for God to be involved in blessing everything in life. As we look at the opening couple of verses, we cannot help but notice two realities. The prepositional phrase, unless the Lord, occurs twice. Now, Solomon uses this phrase to communicate the necessity of having the Lord at the center of anything and everything that we do or attempt. He brings this up because most people do not realize that point. Most people believe in self-reliance. What people need to realize is that they are entirely dependent on God for everything. Paul says, God, Jesus Christ, is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Colossians 1:18. And then the noun vain occurs three times. The Hebrew word vain is one that means it is totally empty in the sense of nothingness. This specific word emphasizes something that is worthless. And by choosing this word, Solomon is saying, if God is not involved in the matter, it will end up useless or worthless and worth nothing. The Lord is either in it or it doesn't amount to anything. Jan Darby said, unless the hand of the Lord himself is involved, it will result in nothing. So there's a couple themes in this psalm. First of all, without having God in sovereign control, what one does is worthless. Look at verses 1 and 2 of 127. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. Now, building anything does require work. God honors work. He does not honor sloth. But no matter how hard you work, without God's blessings, it is useless and worthless. Unless God is in it, no matter what one's skill or strength or smarts, it will amount to nothing. And the noun house can refer to an actual house. It can refer to an entire family. It can refer to the temple, which is the house of God. It can refer to a family's pedigree and even a nation or building, a dynasty. So the first point Solomon makes is that unless God is at his proper place in building anything, you can labor all you want, but the end result, it won't be worth anything. Now, Solomon had almost everything he needed to build the temple. David, his father, had provided that for him. But David had also taught Solomon the importance of keeping the Lord in everything so he could succeed. 1 Kings 2:3. Now, Solomon kept the Lord first, and he built the temple. He also built beautiful homes. God blessed him. However, Solomon's son, Rehoboam, undid and lost everything Solomon did because he did not keep the Lord first in his life. Without God in it, it ends up worthless. Augustine said this principle should be applied to every minister who preaches any message. If God is in it, it is worth nothing. John Phillips said this truth should be applied to every local church and assembly. No church is going to be built by super programs or slick advertising or by clever commercials on radio or TV. No church will be built that will last by crowd-pleasing music or smooth gimmickry. No church will be built by a well-thought-out marketing strategy or huge donations or by some mission outreach program. No church that is useful will be built by quick seminars or weekend retreats. Man can plan and organize and labor to make it go and to make it work, but the truth is, in order for a church to be built that accomplishes real, eternal, lasting things, God must build it. God builds his church through prayer and careful teaching of his words. In fact, Paul said the church is to be a pillar and support of the truth. People labor to make impressive things for themselves and their families, but most of the time, they can leave God out and it'll become useless. So God wants us to focus on what really matters. And unless God sovereignly guards the house, the watching is in vain. There's a need for watchmen to guard things, but unless God is in it, the guarding is useless and worth nothing. The preservation and the protection of anything depends totally on God. This is what we must realize. To most, God is an afterthought. God should be the beginning thought. We live in a country that has always had an impressive military. Those in the military guard us and protect us, but we now have done something that could bring us down. We sidestep God in most places of our lives, and we're dismissing God from almost everything. I think there's great wisdom in having a great military, but if you don't have God guarding, it's useless. Just look at what's happening to this country. The borders have become a disaster. Drugs and criminals are flowing into country, and border agents can't seem to stop them. We have great people protecting our country, but if they're not given the freedom to protect, there's a problem. What we've done is we've sidestepped what the Lord wants for us. So we can build up all we think, and if we sidestep God, it's going to have huge impact on our lives. And unless God sovereignly blesses the house, the worrying is in vain. There are those who desire to build a business or build something, and they get up early and retire late. They're people who are willing to exhaust themselves in an attempt to make it a success. Nothing wrong with getting up early and working hard. Most successful people do that. God does not honor sloth. Good students are known to study early in the morning or late at night. There are people who are so concerned about the success of what they are trying to build that they get up early and lie awake nights. Many young couples think that life is all about them. They get their education, they accumulate their wealth, they have a nice home, they save some good retirement fund, they pursue this while leaving God out. And the end result will be a disaster. It won't be anything. I love watching these couples as they have their houses built and they desire to walk with God and they desire to raise their children in a way that pleases the Lord. It's a blessing to see that. And what this psalm teaches is that you need something more than just this to succeed. You need God. You can work feverishly, you can fret, you can become a fanatic, and in the end, without God, it will amount to nothing. What Solomon says is that unless God is in it, it's all for nothing. It's useless. You can build something, you can guard something, you can work and worry about something. Without the blessings of God, it will not succeed. But notice the end of verse 2. If God is in it, not only is there success, there's rest. God blesses, and his people enjoy his blessings. Having made that critical point concerning the uselessness of leaving God out, notice that Solomon now takes up the subject of blessedness, of having God at the center of things. With having God in sovereign control, what one does will be fruitful. Look at the second part of Psalm 127. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. God will bless and multiply those who keep him at the proper place in all things. He'll give the gift of children as a fruitful reward. To many people, children are not seen as a blessing, but as a burden. One of the heart-wrenching things is to see a parent who loves God is their children rebel and wander away from the very principles that were taught them. God gives us children. We do our best to bring them up the things of the Lord, and sometimes they repay us with defiance. They turn their back on teaching and faith. In fact, the world has devoured so many children that many don't even want to have them. But even with this, God's word says children are an inheritance of God. truth is, God uses someone to get things back on track, and that someone is some baby born somewhere. And God will give children as a strong protection. In Solomon's day, grown children normally cared for their parents in their old age. They defended them, they protected them. Children grow and become warriors, hopefully as a good protector of the parents. Children can grow to become like arrows who support their parents in old age and in the face of difficulties. And God will give children as a happy ambassador. Having a large family was considered to be an amazing blessing of God. And what great happiness there is in watching one's children rise up to the positions of righteous power and authority and not be ashamed. Just imagine what it would have been like to be the father and mother of Joseph and Daniel and Moses. And just imagine being the parents of Joshua, who would protect the entire nation. There's no question that this child would bring happiness to their parents.